while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
In the Little Things is our theme for today. And I just wanted to read the synopsis just one more time. It reads as follows. As Christians, we recognize that thankfulness is not denying pain, but trusting in God's nearness. So we enter 2026, steadying our hearts, realigning our vision, and keeping our focus rooted in hope, faith, and obedience to Christ. We begin with thankfulness, not just for the wondrous things that He will do, but for all the little things. On the first Sunday of every new year here at PHBC, we hold our annual Thanksgiving service, which is the service we're having today. Do you know what? At this point, I'm gonna take this one off too. Yeah. Amen. So on the first Sunday of each year, we hold our Thanksgiving service. And typically on our Thanksgiving service, we like to pause to remember so that we can be realigned and look forward. So our theme today, the little things, came up whilst I was having a conversation with Pastor Zeji, and we were talking about what the Lord is really saying to us in terms of our service today. Where is the Lord aligning us to? What is He saying? And I remember Pastor, as I walked into his office, he said, Pastor Manuela, first Sunday, since I've been here, I would preach on the first Sunday of the year. And he said to me, look, he would usually put the theme in and everything. He said to me, look, what's the theme? I want you to go and pray and seek the Lord's face and just tell us what the Lord is saying to you, what the Lord is speaking to you. And as I stood there, I began to regurgitate all of these things. And it's not because I was eager to speak, but I sensed a strong feeling from the Lord, and I knew exactly what the Lord wanted me to say. And giving thanks in the little things was what we concluded in that moment. It felt right. It felt like this is what the Lord was saying to us. Now, when we think about Thanksgiving, no matter what the context, we often see it as something that we do for God. It's always thought of as something we do in exchange for what He has done. And rightfully so, it is an act of thanksgiving. We give back to Him because of what He has done. But sometimes we can see it as an act of appeasing Him. It's like we're appeasing God, like, thank you for what you did. A bit like the lepers who were healed by Jesus and the one who came back to say thank you. It's like it's an immediate thing we must do. We always see it as an act of appeasing Him, almost as though if we don't say thank you, He might just take away what He's done. It's almost like a compulsion. An act of compulsion, we have to do it. And as I reflected on today's theme, I thought of it in a different light, because I reflected on my 2025 and I realized that there's a difference between thanksgiving and gratefulness. They're not the same thing. Having a thankful heart is different to thanksgiving. And you know, the Bible often talks about, in some themes, it talks about thanksgiving being something that we do as a sacrifice. You know, there's that song, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house. And thanksgiving can sometimes be an act of sacrifice. And I feel like in the scriptural text for today, which wasn't chosen by me, actually, funnily enough, it was something that the Lord laid on Pastor Deji's heart. And I reflected and I thought about the act of thanksgiving in this particular text, scriptural text. Paul is describing the act of thanksgiving as though it was something of a sacrifice. To be grateful is the emotion of thankfulness, but thanksgiving is the action or reaction to demonstrate a thankful heart. So what do we do when it feels like there's nothing to be thankful for? What do we do in those moments when it's hard to see or to be grateful? Through today's sermon, I aim to demonstrate why thanksgiving is a vital part of our faith. So our scriptural text is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, it's funny, when I read this previously, the first time I came across this scripture, it seemed a bit strange to me. I thought about it being God's will, and I kind of added the fact of being thankful in all circumstances. I thought about it, and I thought about, what about the negative circumstances? What are you trying to say, Paul? Are you trying to say that the hard things we go through, that's God's will? And I was thinking, are you trying to tell us to give thanks because it's God's will that we should go through hardship? And I played with it a little bit in my mind, and I remember this portion of scripture is actually taken from a letter Paul writes to the Christians in Thessalonica, who these Christians were member of a church that he established with Silas. And I want to describe a little bit what was happening in that church, in their context, so that we can understand a bit more what Paul is actually saying in that particular verse that we've chosen as our scriptural text. So this church was established by Paul and Silas. And it was a church in Thessalonica, which the Lord had led him to plant. And Paul at that time wanted to go to Europe. He wanted to spread the word, as we know, to the ends of the earth. He wanted the word of God to be spread all throughout the nations. And that was his aim. And the Bible tells us that around that time, before the Lord leads him to plant this church, that he had been appointed to do missionary work with Barnabas. And him and Barnabas would do missionary work together. But it happened at some point that they had a huge disagreement. So Paul and Barnabas had a very bitter argument because Barnabas wanted to take Mark along with him in their missionary work. But Paul disagreed. And so they had a very bitter argument. And the Bible actually says that they parted ways. They parted ways. Although they were commissioned together, this disagreement actually tore them apart. And the split between Paul and Silas was not very pleasant. The contention between them became so sharp, the Bible says, that they had to go their separate ways. To bring this into context, I want you to think about, have you ever had to split from a best friend or someone you truly loved or have deeply bonded with because of your conviction to follow God's leading? You and that person split. That's the equivalent of what Paul went through in his split with Barnabas. And sometimes when we read scriptural text, we read these little things and we kind of skip over what it meant for that individual person. But for Paul, in that circumstance, it was a very painful thing for him to endure. And I can kind of understand what this feels like, because I remember when I had to part ways from my previous church. I remember what that felt like. I'm sorry, guys, I'm having to leave. just as mission work and ministry is getting sweeter and the church is growing, the Lord is calling me somewhere else. And I remember crying with my pastor because he couldn't understand why. And I couldn't understand why, but I knew the Lord was calling me somewhere else. But that broke my heart. And any pastor who's had to split ways with someone who they were doing mission work with understands this pain. So this split for Paul was not amicable. It was painful. The Bible says, and shortly after, Paul continued in his bid to do the Lord's work. And he chose Silas to go along with him. And then Timothy joined them in their missionary work. Now, immediately, the Bible says that that Paul then had direction from the Holy Spirit. He receives a vision of a man pleading for him to come to Macedonia. So they obey, and upon arrival, they arrive at Philippi, which is kind of the first area you would come to as you're going into Macedonia. And the Bible says that they see a bunch of women, they encounter a bunch of women, and they minister to these women. And one particular woman called Lydia, who was into business, a rich woman, the Bible, she's often described as by theologians. The Bible says that she and her entire household actually are converted and they are baptized. Paul's conviction to go to Europe, the Lord is doing a work through his pain. The Lord is doing a work through what he's experiencing. And here's the fruit, the first fruit that he encounters here in Macedonia. Lydia and her entire household are saved and baptized. Now, the Bible says on their way to prayer, Paul delivers a girl who he becomes frustrated with. And this particular girl had the spirit of divination. This girl had a new age spirit, a false deceptive spirit, a fortune telling spirit that misled many people in the town of Philippi. This girl was someone who made her masters a lot of money. Someone say a lot of money. It was so much money that her masters became frustrated. And in their frustration, they dragged Paul and Silas to the magistrates. Not only do they do that, but they publicly humiliate them by ripping their clothes off. And guess what happens next? Paul and Silas are beaten with a rod. They are battered. And it doesn't feel like... It doesn't feel like God is at work here, does it? What's going on? Right? And it feels like that for us sometimes. That when we press in to missionary work, it seems like, you know, when you give your life to God, it's like, but Lord, I didn't have to encounter this before. Life was sweet back then. What's going on? And it seems like the more I press in, the more I pray, the more I fast, the harder things get for me. Sometimes when we encounter these trials or persecutions, as I like to refer to them, we sometimes want to take a break. We want to press the brakes and say, Lord, maybe not me. Choose somebody else to do your bidding, because this is too hard. After they had beaten them, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And Paul and Silas, although innocently persecuted, they begin to give thanks in prison. The Bible says they begin to give thanks. What do they give? What? Thanks. They give thanks. For what? The beating? Or was it for their clothes being ripped off? What was it for? Paul and Silas begin to give thanks. And in thanksgiving, by praising, Paul and Silas remember the Lord. They remember the Lord. They align themselves with the will of God. This act of thanksgiving here is an act of surrender. It's an act of sacrifice. It's an act of trust. And when they remember, God then remembers them. It's not that Paul and Silas had forgotten the Lord, but in remembering, they were doing something that Jews would often do. That word remembering is actually an act of bringing God to the forefront of their mind. They were realigning with God's will. Paul especially, knowing what his goal was, which was to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. Their persecution received new meaning. Whilst praising, the Bible says that the prison gates were broken. But that's only half of the miracle. See, that's the bit we focus on. Paul and Silas praised and the prison gates were broken. They were opened, right? That's the bit we focus on. But that's only half the testimony. The Bible says the prison guard, as a result, the prison guard and his entire household was saved and baptized. His entire household was saved and baptized. What a powerful testimony. Shortly after they were released from prison, Paul and Silas headed to Thessalonica, where they ministered in a Jewish synagogue. And for 3 weeks in that town, they sat there in that synagogue, ministering and deliberating on the word of God and sharing the truth about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says a multitude of people were converted. Now, a man by the name Jason, who was a part of the church in Thessalonica, which they planted, was hosting Paul and Silas in his house. But those Jews who heard of this went to Jason's house. And the Bible says that they gathered, before they went, they gathered a mob and attacked Jason's house, a member of the church of Thessalonica, as I mentioned. They took Jason to the rulers and lied against him. But Jason was released on bail. How was Paul able to sustain? What was his secret? What was his secret? What was the secret of Paul? How was he able to just carry on? I mean, we have to remember, Paul was a man like you and I. We often put the apostles, we put them on a pedestal as though they didn't have lives, as though they didn't have desires, as though they didn't want a future, as though they didn't feel like we feel. A pastor once said, you know, I'm tired of these Christians, for real. It's like they think if they cut me, holy water will spill out. And I remember just the other day, I was talking to Pastor Deji, and he was like, yeah, it's like they think if they cut you, holy water will spill out. And sometimes we think of Paul like that. It's like, yeah, but he's Paul, right? Surely, he's supposed to act like this. He's supposed to give thanks. If it were any of us, would we have acted that way? But Paul saw every little thing. You see, the things we minimize sometimes are the great things that God is doing. Sometimes we overlook and we don't see what's in front of us. We don't see what the Lord is doing in us, through us, around us, and for us. It's easy to overlook the small things or the things that we minimize. Thankfulness isn't just for the dramatic moments. It's the quiet blessing that set the tone of our lives. When we remember God, it produces thanksgiving. And that is when our pain, our labor, and our hardship, the hardship that we face, begins to have meaning. That is when it gains purpose. The Bible tells us that Paul continued to face persecution, but he maintained a thankful heart by seeing God in every little act of ministry. And through this, the disciples and the early believers were encouraged. The Bible says that they looked onto Paul as an example. Some of them were burnt at the stake. But guess what the Bible says? Not Bible, history. History says they sang as they were being burnt. They gave thanks to God. What an example Paul set for them. From Macedonia, the gospel spread all through Europe and now to the ends of the earth, onto Pollard's Hill, where we are now. Till this day, the epistles of Paul continue to be the most impactful letters of all that the apostles wrote. Let's take a leaf, if not a leaf, at least a tree, out of Paul's book. No pun intended. I've been waiting to say that. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, because it is God's will. What is God's will? God's will is that we should give thanks. But why should we give thanks? The second half of this verse can be misconstrued, and the persecution isn't God's will, but the thanksgiving is what God's will is. Maybe you're in a season of waiting. Won't you remember Joseph, who waited in prison for the palace? Maybe you're in a season of separation. Won't you remember Abraham, who left his family and became a father of all? Maybe heartbreak. Or God is saying, humble yourself that I might deliver you from the guilt and shame of depression. Or loneliness and sacrifice is what you're being called to. Maybe God is saying, walk away from those friendships or that relationship. It doesn't glorify me. Oh, God is saying, no, that thing you really wanted, it's not my will. Even though you think you might find fulfillment in it, wait on me. Be set apart. Endure. Let's not get it twisted. I know we're saying give thanks in the little things, but sometimes even giving thanks in rejoicing is hard. Sometimes when you're celebrating and the person you want to celebrate with isn't there, it's hard to give thanks. Sometimes it's hard to give thanks when a testimony comes about, but it isn't the way that we wanted it to come about. Whatever it is, saints, wherever you find yourself, right now, right here, let us not forget to remember that our pain has purpose. Can we say that together? Our pain has purpose. We are marching forward and we are making change. Transformation is taking place. Looking back, lives are being saved. I said earlier, 41 people have been baptized here in Pollard's Hill in the last 3 years. That's amazing. The Bible says when one person is saved, the whole of heaven rejoices. They throw a party. But someone is baptized and tomorrow it's forgotten. We forget to rejoice in that. The Lord says, in the little things, in the things that seem small, in the things that seem minor, the Lord sees them as great. We are marching forward. The change might not look how we planned it, but we can trust that the one who knows best, he understands it. We often look at Thanksgiving from the lens of something we give to God, something we do for him or for his benefit. We tend to see it as an option, as something that we may choose to do. Thanksgiving is not an option, saints, but it is a call to action. In our scriptural text, Paul does not suggest, he does not give the option. Rather, in his letters and all throughout scriptures, we are commanded to give thanks. Psalms 100, give thanks. Why does Paul call us to give thanks? It's because Paul understood one thing. He understood this, that our praise is our weapon, saints. We sang earlier, my praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm living, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Paul and Silas sang hymns in prison, leading to an earthquake, and their shackles were open and the prison doors were open. It wasn't distinct to Paul and Silas. It was something they learned through scripture. In Psalms 149:6, it says, may the high praise of God be in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hand. Our praises is a double-edged sword in our hand. When praises fill our mouths, it becomes a double-edged sword in our hands. Even if we're just praising God for the sunshine, or for the smile of a baby, or for just waking up in the morning, or for gratitude for food on our table, these little things add up. 2 Chronicles 20, 21 to 22, the Bible tells us that King Jehoshaphat, when they were being ambushed, appointed singers to praise God's beauty as they went before the army, and the Lord set ambushes against their enemies. causing them to be confused and to destroy one another. The Bible says that army of that day did not have to fight, not a soul. A miracle. We see the same miracle happen at Jericho. They went ahead and praised the Lord. And every little step they took as they marched around Jericho, the Bible says every step added up. Every single sound of praise added up. And each step was like one drop. And we had prayer meeting. I think it was it yesterday or the day before? I don't remember who it was, whether it was Pauline or somebody else was praying. And she mentioned something I've heard before. But she said, it's like every little drop, every little drop of water adds up. And each time we give thanks, it's like a little drop in a cup. But if we add up these little drops, they can make up an ocean. Our consistent thanksgiving is a weapon. In various circumstances, let us in 2026, in whatever circumstance we face, let us understand that this thing, whatever it is that we're facing, God is using it to train our hands for war and our fingers for battle. For we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in high places. The persecution we face, let's not minimize it to just ourselves and our benefit. But it's to God's, God is working through all of us. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Louise who preached an amazing sermon once, and she used the tapestry. And she said the tapestry, when you look at it from behind, it looks like a hot mess. But every little thread makes up one big picture. And that's who we are, saints. We are the body of Christ. We make up a beautiful tapestry. And even though our lives might sometimes look a mess, the Lord is weaving our stories together and he's making up a story, and each one brings one and each one encourages one. And so let us be encouraged. Let us give thanks. Our praise is a weapon. Giving thanks to God for the little things helps us to put the big picture into perspective. Praise is a corrective lens that helps us to see the little things in the right perspective. Praise is a lens. Someone say, praise is a lens. It changes my perspective. Praise is an act of spiritual defiance, declaring God's goodness in the face of evil. It confuses the enemy. It confuses his tactics. He doesn't expect it. He doesn't anticipate that we would give thanks even in our trials. It activates God's power. When we give thanks, it's a powerful weapon that activates the angels and the Creator to change our circumstances. Does anyone believe? For 2026, I believe that, and I am convinced that the Lord is calling us to put to remembrance and to be intentional about looking for him in all the little things, and so that we can see how they add up to make up the big picture. If we look for God in the little things, we will see the magnitude of the impact they have on all of eternity. As we learn in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 27, and also in the book of John 5, the main focus of Sabbath, the main focus of that rest, the main focus of taking communion is not just to pause, it's not just to rest and to remember, but it is also a call to serve and to partake in the sacrifice of Christ. And as we serve humanity by making Jesus our Lord and Savior, we march on day by day. And as we march on day by day, we're fulfilling God's will in our lives. It might seem small, but each step brings us closer to the finishing line. And typically on the first Sunday of each month, as you know, we remember by taking communion and breaking bread in fellowship with one another and with God, which we are going to do shortly after the sermon today. And this is something that we do in remembrance of Christ as he commanded us. Even through the inconvenience of persecution and hardship caused by our decision to pursue God, sometimes it's our fault. We today and the rest and through the rest of 2025 will choose to focus not on the negative, but be intentional about looking for the positive in this context, in PHBC, in our lives. Because we are being changed, and not all of the impacts we are having as church internally and externally has been shared. Church, there are so many testimonies. So many haven't been shared. Some we don't even know of, some we will never know about. Today, church, as we begin this year, let us remember to reflect on what God has promised, what he promised in times past, and then let's reflect on what he has done so that we can see what he is doing, so that we can partake in what he will do.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.